Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Comox Pentecostal Church, I bring greetings to you from Living God Church, Chennai, India, the church that we've been pastoring since the year 2007. You see, Pastor Mike and Laura, you both have been a great blessing to us. Your teaching, your worship ministry in Christian Life Assembly has made significant investment in our life. So we want to thank you for that. Also, thank you for having us come and deliver God's word to you at this very special occasion of you remembering the global missions. You are a church that want to be a part of the global Great Commission work. We are proud of you, Comox Pentecostal Church. Can we get into God's word right now? Before we actually do that, we came to Comox in the year 2009. That was the first time we came into the city. It was a long drive, but still it was worth it. Because 2012, I believe, our partnership began. Since then, it's been 10 years of faithful partnership. I pray that the Lord would bless this partnership for His glory and for His kingdom work at this part of the world. And He would keep it safe till He comes back and accomplishes the purpose of connecting us with one another. Are you ready now to get into God's word? Take your Bible and turn it to book of Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Let me speak that once again. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you. See, the promises of God are powerful. They have the power to change situation around. And we have seen that in this part of the world. India is a country of 1.3 billion people. The official reports say that 2% and above of Indian population are Christians. But I believe that the Lord Jesus has reserved so many more people who have received gospel and accepted Jesus in this nation. But you see, when you go back to the history, there's so many movements that the Lord has brought into this nation that made these people accept the love of Jesus. One we are all familiar about is worship movement. Every country, every nation, the Lord has used worship movements to bring so many to the love of Christ. Here in India, God raised many ministers through certain generation. They kept speaking the promises of God. Most of their sermons were made from scriptures that had great promises and hopeful messages from the Lord. And people who heard it, they received fresh hope and they gave their life to Jesus. And I believe many have come to the knowledge, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the promising word. More than ever, my friends, I believe that the world we live right now need to know that Jesus is in the business of redeeming people. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. So He wants to redeem you. Last few years, pandemic has taken so much from the nation, from the church, from families, loved ones, and now war. Nations coming against nations. And the trouble that we just saw in Canada and other parts of the world. But through the midst of all these chaos, what we should believe is God is in the business of redeeming people even right now. You who are listening to me from the church, from online, wherever you are, whatever you have gone through and are going through, you need to know that this promise word is coming to you. Not only to you, I want to speak this redemption grace over the global missions, over the Great Commission work that has been stalled the last couple of years, that God would release an acceleration into it and He would speed up, and every lost season, revival moments, and every effort, the Lord would bless us double fold. I have seen this redemption power of God working in the lives of people here in Living God Church as well. Just a couple years before, as a church, we gathered and we prayed. We were trusting God to bring souls to the church. At that moment, as we were praying, a young lady walked into church. She was accompanied by many people. She looked troubled. We saw her lean. We understood that she hasn't been eating food for many days. And there was a spiritual darkness all over her. They made her sit in a chair. As we continued our prayer, she started to manifest. She started to roll down the floors of the church and make that place, create a scene in that place. We were wondering what's happening. But we know the Lord is delivering her. You in the West would not understand this. You see, Satan knows how to camouflage himself into a culture. In the West, he is hidden. He's still working there, but he's hidden. But in the East, he's more obvious. He possesses people's body, mind. He takes control of their life. He oppresses them. But there is always a door that these people allow to open, that the enemy comes in and oppresses their life. And something like that happened in her life to our understanding. But at that point, we ministered deliverance to her. Jesus freed her, my friend. We could see the difference. 10 people could not keep her down. This weak, weary lady. 10 people could not keep her down. She had the might there that we could not hold her down. But Jesus freed her. Come on, can we praise Him for that? He is still freeing people. And He wants to free you this morning. He freed her. Next day, day after day, she came. Many times what I see in the churches is people come when they receive a freedom from depression, anxiety, and other addictions. They go back to their old ways and they lose the freedom that the Lord has given them. You see, for her, it wasn't only us, our prayer, our fasting or whatever. It wasn't just that that gave her freedom. She also took an effort to keep her freedom, my friends. She kept coming every day, seeking the Lord. We could see a big change, the light of Jesus shining in and through her. But we were curious to know her story. What was that very door that she kept open or others opened in her life that made enemy come in and ruin her life? She started her story by saying this. Her parents called her Vendam, because she was the sixth daughter in that home. In Indian culture, having a boy is considered as a fortunate and a God's blessing. Having a girl is not. Why? When a girl marries someone, she ought to take so much of materials of gold and silver and earthly possession into the house she's being married into. But if you have a boy, on the other hand, you will receive so much more into your house when your boy is getting married. I know it's bad, but this is deep into the culture, my friends. So her parents thought, we already have 5 daughters. We thought we would have at least 6th one, a boy, but this happened. So they named her Vendam, which means, I don't want you. Can you imagine being called, I don't want you, your entire childhood and in your youthful days? That's what happened. And that's exactly the door that made enemy come in. As you can imagine, every single thought pattern that would be disturbed through, whatever the pain and dysfunctional family and other abuse that you have gone through. But the Lord is asking you a question. Are you willing to be a faithful steward of the freedom that He wants to give you this morning? It's not that the Lord is not working. It's not the Lord is not healing, freeing people now. We are just not faithful with the freedom and the miracles and the healings that He has given us. We have taken it granted, my friends. But what is amazing with Vendam is she did not do that. Even though her name is, I don't want you, she continued to pursue this faith and grow in her faith and value a relationship with Jesus. I felt that it was time to break and close that door that was opened in her life. We prayed and the Lord gave us a beautiful name, Shiloh. As the elders of the congregation, we pronounced the name Shiloh and we started to call her Shiloh since then. Shiloh means bringer of good news. She continued in her discipleship program. One day, she came in. She sat with me and she said, Pastor, I have a burden to go and take this redemption message and hopeful message to my own people. She came from a district called Viripuram, which is about 160 kilometers away from the main campus that I pastored. She said, I want to go back there. There is close to 1,000 villages there. And most of the villages have not heard this message, this redeeming message of our Lord and Savior Jesus. She wanted to go back there. We have already seen the evidence of God's gift over this young lady's life. She is praying over people and God is freeing others. You see, enemy brings in so many things into your life. Dysfunctional family problems and abuses and depression and anxiety and so many other isolation and curseful situation. But this is the amazing thing when God redeems a person. He not just heals them, saves them, frees them from that one thing. He also uses that very thing that they journeyed. He makes them a blessing, a redemption path for others. So we see whatever was the thing that oppressed her. Now she is casting the very thing out. Whatever was the thing that brought her pain and suffering. Now she is able to counsel and mentor and bring people, others, into that very freedom, my friends. See, I told her, I understand your passion, Shiloh, but we got to wait. If God is calling you to that district called Viripuram, where is 3.5 million people and close to 1,000 villages, many of them unreached, I want to know that the Lord would bring a sign. And the sign is this, He should bring you a husband. You see, yes, she can be effective all by herself. But to have a cultural sensitivity from the Eastern perspective, I mean, and for her own safety, I told her, I want you to pray for a husband. When God brings that person, that's the sign that He's calling you to go to that district. Guess what? She started praying, I guess, and God brought a husband into her life. Only couple weeks before the very stage I'm standing and preaching from, I married Thomas and Shiloh, and now they are in the training together. I believe that there is great destiny over their life. The redemption that the Lord has played both in the life of Thomas and Shiloh and bringing them together is a purpose, and He will fulfill that in His own time. But you see, my friends, to bring such great redemption grace into these lives, we ought to set aside funds, faith, take steps of action to open something called Arise and Build Initiative, where we bring in young men, young women from many other places. We teach them, we pray with them, we lead them into this deliverance, we counsel them, hoping that the Lord would use them to reach so many other parts of this nation. The map that you see behind me is the map of the province that I was born and brought up. It is called Tamil Nadu. It is divided into 38 districts. And the Lord started to stir in my heart. He put a dream in my heart saying, believe for something big. How big? He said, ask of me and I will give you nations. And I started to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, I want to reach this nation. How can I do it? Before, I had a dream of building one big church. I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about people. But then the Lord showed up And he said, one big church is not enough to reach a nation. It needs many smaller churches. And in order for us to have many smaller churches, we need many people who have encountered this redeeming power of Jesus in their own life. Once I asked a great man of God, what does it take for someone to be a very effective minister in God's kingdom? This is what he told me. He said, if that very individual have had a personal God encounter, he could be an effective leader. You see, that's what I want to have people come and experience in Arise and Build. It is not a Bible college. It is not a place where people sit inside a classroom and have a teacher teach and learn. It has to be a place where people seek the Lord. They have early morning prayer hours. They have times of fasting and crying out to God, moments of worship, and even believing God for everyday meal. We have seen that. At times, these amazing disciples who are there in the Arise and Build, they pray and they say, Lord, we need a special meal. And we have seen the Lord bring in someone that come in there and say, hey, this is our wedding day, this is our birthday, or something good is happening in our family. We just want to bless the disciples with some amazing meal. We see that people ought to experience such practical moments of God's provision, God's miracle, God's healing, and deliverance in their own life. That is having a personal God encounter. You see, such people, when you release them into the unreached parts of the world, they can go and be an effective native missionary, my friends. I want to ask you, you see, stand with me to create so many leaders and send them out to all these districts in our province and beyond. Our province has about 78.8 million people, 38 districts. And I believe that the Lord is going to send leaders to all of those districts. In the Bible, there is a character called Naomi Ruth. And we see God's redemption plan manifested in their own life. Their redemption story starts like this. We all know the great city, Bethlehem. The purpose of God in that city, our Lord and Savior born in that place. What a great city. But did you know, in the Bible, in the book of Ruth, we come to know that there was a 10-year famine in that great city. This gives us a little sense of hope. If Bethlehem could go through so much trouble, exact place where Jesus was born, it's okay if you and I go through trouble because God has a greater purpose on the other side. But one unfortunate decision was made by a family in Bethlehem during the time of famine. They decided to leave. Elimelech, he told his wife Naomi, whose name means sweet, along with his two sons, let's leave Bethlehem. Let's take all our money, sell our properties, move to a land called Moab, which is 3,300 kilometers away from Bethlehem, and start a new life. We will be prosperous there. God is not helping Bethlehem. Something is wrong with Bethlehem. We don't know what, but let's move there. They moved there. Guess what, my friends? Soon, Elimelech died. Two sons in that family died. Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws were widows in that home. She didn't know what to do. She had so many questions that she wanted to ask the Lord. In fact, we could see that. One day, as people gathered around her and celebrated her, she said, why do you call my name Naomi? Meaning sweet. Call me bitter, Mara. Because everything that I've been experiencing in my life is bitter. See, she was angry with God. She had questions that she wanted to ask the Lord. She felt God is not answering them. You see, at times God doesn't answer questions. That doesn't mean he's quiet. He's working behind the back. He's working behind the scenes. One day, Naomi heard that the Lord has visited Bethlehem. The Lord has redeemed the days of lack of harvest. And now, Naomi says, let me redeem that wrong decision that my husband made, that my family together we made. She decided, I'm going to journey back. Instead of being here, I believe Naomi must have been depressed and in anxiety and weary, and she could not make that more than 3 months of hard travel to reach back Bethlehem. But she decided, let's go back. She cast the vision of the journey to her two daughter-in-laws. But you see, God also used Naomi to redeem somebody else. That's Ruth, one of her daughter-in-law. Ruth is the descendant of Lot. Lot had a major problem in his own family. He, with his own two daughters, gave birth to a descendant called Ammonites and Moabites. And that descendant was cursed by the Lord. But God also wanted to redeem them. And he was waiting for somebody who would take a step of faith, who would allow God, who would facilitate, who would do something to let God know that we want redemption. And Ruth was that very person. Ruth said to Naomi, I will come with you back to your people. I will worship your God. I will journey with you no matter what. I will leave everything and follow after you. But on the other hand, Orpha, her other daughter-in-law, said, I cannot. She was emotional. She was. She kissed Naomi. She wept. Her spiritual journey was only emotional. But God cannot save if you're only emotional. God requires you to take a step of faith, to let him know that you really want him to bring that redemption in your life, in your church, in your city, in your family, my friends. And that's exactly what Ruth did. The Bible says Ruth clung to Naomi. Ruth clung to the ways of God, to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to the journey, even though that journey was hard. They went back to Bethlehem. There, it wasn't all easy. Everyone saw them as widows, as people who left Bethlehem and now coming back with nothing. I'm sure people didn't want them to come and work in their fields. There were so many struggles they were going through in Bethlehem. But Ruth decided, I'm not going to sit at home. I'm going to go out there and see whether the Lord could give me favor. She went out there. She went to a field of Boaz. Boaz there saw her. And as Boaz saw Ruth, what Ruth was doing is, she was gleaning. She was in the field there taking one stalk of grain after the other, gathering for her and her mother-in-law to survive those days. But when God wants to put you in a redemption plan, he doesn't just do things in your life to make you survive. He wants you to thrive. He wants to give you everything you lost and make you a blessing to many. God gave her favor, my friends. She gleaned there. And later on, Boaz married Ruth. And Ruth became the great-grandmother of David. And her name is recorded in the book of Matthew because she was in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine this? A person born in a dysfunctional family, cursed and outcast, but the Lord chose her to bring redemption to her family, her nation, and erase all the past curses and bring her back to a glorious future. Wow. Friends, the Lord wants to do that. He has done that to Shiloh. He has done that to Ruth, and he's still working. He wants to do that for you and for me. He wants to do that for Comox Pentecostal Church there in Canada and Living God Church here in India and to our nation. I want to pray for you right now. Friends, as I pray and conclude, I want to say before that, a thank you for standing with us. I also want to encourage you as we remember global missions this day, that so many people are waiting for this message of hope. Maybe you are that person. You cannot take a step to say, yes, God, I will go to the city and to the nation you call me. But I also believe there's people out there that will say yes to the call of God. But there is also people that say, I cannot do this. In that case, I would say, come behind us. Come behind the vision of the local church. Stand with us and support as we invest in lives of people like Shiloh and many more people who have experienced and encountered God's powerful touch because they are ready to go. All we need to do is come alongside, train them, support them for a season, and they would go and make a big difference for the Lord and Savior. You see, recently after the marriage of Thomas and Shiloh, they came to me and said, come, we want to take you to our district, Viripuram, and show you that place. I went. We went on what we call as a prayer drive, just to see the city and to pray for the city. It was a 12-hour prayer drive. We went there, and as I saw that district, I saw fields where the harvest was ready. I got down. I told some of the workers that's been working in the farm there, saying, get me a stock of rice. And they got me this. I brought it back to our main campus, trusting that the Lord will give us a big harvest in that place. My friends, I believe God is going to redeem each and every harvest that we have lost, and He will bring back redemption blessing. Can I pray for you right now? Lord, I pray for your people right there watching us, listening to us, seated in the church, Lord. I pray that this message would not just motivate and inspire them, but also will do a great work in and through their lives. There could be people right now thinking, I have lost everything, with questions, why am I going through this? I pray, Lord, that there would be an answer. The work of Christ would be manifested in that room right now. God, you are touching many people, and I know that in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that cities would be transformed. We believe for a revival. Harvest that we have lost will come back to us in the coming season. Thank you for the great partnership that you have given us, Lord. We bless Comox Pentecostal Church. We bless Pastor Mike and Laura and the leadership team there. Father, we pray, we are having faith that greater things are coming in the coming days. We give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, friends. Put your hands together. Give some glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Pray over you as we bring our time together this morning to a conclusion. As I, these friends would love to pray with you today, and I just want to make sure that you know that there's people that would be glad to pray with you anytime. So they'll remain here for a few moments as our service concludes today. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for each family represented here, each household. You know the stories, the circumstances, the needs, the situations, and you are merciful, faithful, and redemptive in everyone. And as we prayed earlier, I'm praying that your goodness would be made manifest in each family, in each circumstance, in each mind and soul and body. Father, now as we go into your world on your mission, again, we declare our dependence upon you. We can't do this in our own strength. To walk in power, to walk in love, it requires your anointing, your spirit at work in and through us. We need you, Holy Spirit. So would you touch each person, I pray, as we go today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday, everybody. Guess what? Next week is time change, I hear. So it means sunny evenings and all that kind of stuff. So we've got some great things coming up for our church families. We get to get outside a little more often together. So bless you. Have a great time. Go hang out outside, out front if you like. Say hi. Meet some other new people around you as well.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.